The next Bloomington City budget is taking shape.
We're putting money into capital projects that are desperately needed. O'Neill Pool, a future library, the 911 facility on the east side.
That's Mayor Terry Renner. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for WGLT's The Leadoff comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.
It's Tuesday, February 25th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Let's lead off with replacements for O'Neill Pool and the Market Street parking garage, apparently on the horizon in Bloomington. Items related to both facilities are included in the proposed budget for the 2021 fiscal year. City staff delivered a presentation on the spending plan during last night's City Council meeting. Among the highlighted expenses was $1.3 million for repairs to the 550-space downtown parking deck, which was built in 1974. Facilities Director Russ Waller says the structural repairs could keep the garage viable for 5 to 7 years. When Councilmember Jamie Matthew asked, "At what point do we stop throwing money at this garage?" Waller said, "We're there," but insisted the budgeted repair project still needs to happen.
With 80% utilization of that garage, we either are going to have to do the repairs or find an alternate location to put those roughly 350 paid parking customers.
Councilmember Scott Black admitted the garage is needed, but said he believes replacement plans should be developed now.
It's going to be very hard for me to vote in favor of a budget that has more money devoted to this parking garage without some back-end strategy immediately taking effect. I would actually prefer for us to, right now, get the plan in place, hire the architect, do what we got to do, tear it down and rebuild it.
Waller said hiring consultants to evaluate replacement options will be included in the 2022 budget. The budget proposal also featured a $738,000 placeholder for design work on a replacement of the 45-year-old aluminum pool at O'Neill Park. Jay Tetzloff with the Parks, Recreation, and Cultural Arts Department says a type of pool typically lasts only 25 years, and the current facility may not have many seasons left.
Every year something else comes up.
Tetzloff says the initial step is to determine the direction of the project, whether to simply replace the pool or turn it into an updated aquatic center, which would cost more money up front. Scott Black says he wants to see the project get underway as soon as possible.
What I was more worried about is that we would get a study and then we'd think about it for 3 years and then maybe decide later. I'm not interested in that. The timeline needs to move very quickly.
Black says a new facility is desperately needed regardless of the expense.
This isn't an economic development project. I mean, this is a quality of life for an area that absolutely deserves it and is a facility that we've stretched the life out of for years and years and years.
City Manager Tim Gleason says he expects to have a full project in the budget for 2022. A public hearing on the proposed 2021 budget is scheduled for March 9th, with the council expected to vote on the spending plan in April. Here's some other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. Indecision is keeping early voter participation lower than election officials in McLean County had hoped. Paul Shannon with the Bloomington Election Commission says they hope to reach the 50% turnout they had in the 2016 presidential primary. State House candidate David Paul Blumenschein, who says he wants to help Illinois dig out of debt and stop overspending, has himself to face financial challenges that led to a foreclosure and bankruptcy. Blumenschein will face incumbent State Representative Dan Brady in the March 17th Republican primary. And ISU student environmentalists are asking the organization that manages the university's investments to analyze how fossil fuel stocks are doing. ISU President Larry Deeds says he'll explore the idea. Find more on these stories at WGLT.org. It's hard for rural communities in Illinois to attract or keep the doctors, teachers, even grocery stores, which together make everyday life possible in a small town. Now, another professional shortage has emerged in rural Illinois. There are not enough attorneys, and the problem is getting worse. The Chicagoland area is home to 2/3 of Illinois' population, but 90% of its lawyers. That leaves the rest of us, the other 95 counties, with the remaining 10%. There are 39 counties in Illinois that haven't added a new attorney in the past 4 years.
Is the small town lawyer still going to exist, you know, 10 to 15 years from now or 20 years from now?
That's Amelia Burgess, a partner with Boland Robinson & Ellis, who's based in Bloomington.
We don't have the answer to that, but we do see a need, and we as a firm have a desire to meet that need.
Last month, Burgess' firm opened a branch office in Lincoln, where there's a shortage of lawyers. Only two new attorneys have begun practicing there in the past 4 years. The problem is most acute in the family law area.
Just from a, you know, very real human perspective, that's concerning, because when you're dealing with a family law case, those are very serious issues that impact your life, they impact the life of your family. And the idea of people trying to navigate that system on their own, when they would benefit from help, you know, we really saw the potential need there to do good in the community.
Logan County has just over 30,000 residents, but less than 25 lawyers. Located just southwest of Bloomington Normal, Lincoln is the Logan County seat. The historic downtown courthouse remains the center of town. Less than 2 months after opening, demand was so high in the Lincoln area that Burgess's BRE law firm added regular office hours starting this week to meet with potential clients. Thomas Harris has seen the shortage in Lincoln, too. He was on the front lines as a judge based in Lincoln from 2007 to 2013. That's when he became an appellate court justice. With few options, Harris saw more and more people representing themselves in his courtroom. The legal term for that is pro se. Nationally, 3 out of 5 people in civil cases go to court without a lawyer.
It was such a luxury, almost, to have lawyers presenting the case, because this isn't easy, and I think that's one thing that folks are most shocked at when they get into court. I think they think there's going to be a lot of assistance provided by the judge, and the judge is not allowed to provide that kind of assistance.
Harris says that's especially true for child custody cases.
Those are very difficult cases. They are very fact-intensive that require that the parties be able to present evidence. There are legal rules, rules of procedure, and evidentiary rules that they're required to comply with. And without a lawyer, these folks really can be at a loss as to how to proceed.
Harris says that puts a judge in a terrible bind.
Because the judge has to make this very critical determination, potentially without all of the facts he or she needs in order to make it.
You can hear the rest of this story at noon and 6 p.m. today on Sound Ideas. Before we let you go, the Normal Public Library and League of Women Voters of McLean County will host a 2020 Census Why Should We Care event. That's tonight from 6:30 to 8:30 at the library. Thanks for listening to The Leadoff. Support for this podcast comes from listeners like you. Contribute at WGLT.org.